This is Logan Sekulow. Joe Biden admits it's a crisis, but it's quickly walked back by Jen Psaki. We're going to talk about that and everything that's happening on the border today on Sekulow.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live.
President Biden over the weekend called what happened at the border a crisis. Is that now the official White House position, that there is indeed a crisis at the border?
Well, let me first say that we have made some progress in moving children from out of Border Patrol facilities into shelters. Nearly 1,000 unaccompanied minors were transferred out of CBP facilities and into the care of Health and Human Services just this weekend. We are still have a lot of work to do, but that is a step forward in our view.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president does not feel that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire circumstances is a crisis. He does feel that the crisis in Central America, the dire circumstances that many are fleeing from, that is a situation we need to spend our time, our effort on, and we need to address it if we're going to prevent more of an influx of migrants from coming in years to come.
And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow again. This is Logan Sekulow. I'm here with Will Haynes and sitting in for my dad and brother today. And man, we have an interesting topic today because the word crisis, which has been politicized for honestly, Will, reasons I'm not so sure of. Because look, as most Americans, I think we want to be given the news straight. We don't want politicizing words. We don't want you to tiptoe around ridiculousness. But Joe Biden, in a kind of hard-to-hear clip,
right,
specifically called the moment on the border, what's happening right now with all of the children, unaccompanied minors, and trust me, we're going to go through even what was just caught yesterday, will not call it a crisis. And look, we're not the ones here saying, you got to use the word crisis. You know, they have specifically said, we're not going to say this naughty word. And it's very odd. And listen, the audio is bad, but we do have it from Joe Biden. You'll hear a reporter first, and then later Joe Biden. So President Biden, take a listen.
And everyone, the refugee camps. How's the first word here? We're going to increase the number. We had to. The problem was that the refugee car was working on crisis
Kevin.
Up on the border with young people. We did do two things at once.
The problem was the refuge part. The refugee part was working on the crisis that ended up on the border with young people. So use the word crisis, the big naughty word you're not allowed to say here. When there are thousands of people, there's all of the unaccompanied minors. We've seen that issue that's been going on for months now. And we've seen his poll numbers sink on this from Democrats and Republicans, from everyone, for this reason. Again, I feel like you're politicizing the wrong thing. And then you had Jen Psaki just yesterday, just to clean it up a little bit, clarify, this isn't really a crisis. But listen to you can't believe this is real. Look, we're headed to a break, so listen to this before we head to break. This is the words coming from Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The president does not feel that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire circumstances is a crisis. He does feel that the crisis in Central America, the dire circumstances that many are fleeing from, that is a situation we need to spend our time, our effort on, and we need to address it if we're going to prevent more of an influx of migrants from coming in years to come.
Unbelievable. The president does not feel, listen to this, that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire circumstances is a crisis. How out of touch and how politically semantic do you have to be to realize how ridiculous you sound? We're talking about humanitarian issues here. Look, we are not, we need to have immigration reform. We've said that on this show many times. We are not the people who are coming up with, over-the-top ridiculous things. But when you hear stuff like that, it has to infuriate you because, again, they're not giving it to you straight. They came up with some political game that, for some reason, the word crisis is something we can't say, and it's a distraction of really what's going on and really what's happening. I want to hear from you right now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Call right now. I want to get your comments. Also, Mike Pompeo joining us in just a couple segments. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo again. This is Logan Seculo. We're talking about the situation at hand, Will. The crisis, if you will, that is coming.
Depends
from...
Depends on who you're asking, though. That's a very clear thing we have to...
You know, Karl Rove called it, we just played it, and if you're watching online, you may have seen that clip, and we'll probably play it. He called it a slip of honesty of what's happening. Again, all of these things come in to be distractions, because what's really important is all of these children, all these people who are coming across the border and causing, you know, some of this chaos. We see what even just happened in the last day, just in the last day. And look, I have to say this. We say crisis. It's not like, again, that word has the power that we didn't empower that word. What they've done is politicize that word to where they can't say it. Now it's clearly a press secretary. And this is when we have a big issue here in America, because we aren't given the honest truth. We're giving some weird political spin. And as one of our producers said, she said it's a dire situation.
Dire circumstance.
You know, yeah. And a dire circumstance, just by its pure definition and synonyms of the word, are dreadful, appalling, shocking, alarming. In other words, a crisis. You know, this is where it's political backspeak. It makes no sense. And us as American people have to look at it and go, I can't believe this is what we're being fed. It's true on both sides a lot of times, because stuff gets really hairy and really confusing. And look, there isn't simple answers to this. But what isn't the answer is to like try to play a mind game with people and use words. We saw this during COVID. We're seeing it during all of these other situations. Like buzzwords and catchphrases become right and left. And we don't need to live in a country that's like that. Again, I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. But listen, this is not a crisis. Here's just yesterday. Things that were, and people that were caught at the border dealing with the situation. A man arrested a child, convicted of child abuse, a rape suspect, a four-time felon, gang member. They also rescued an unaccompanied 15-year-old pregnant migrant child and a woman who's trying to sneak in 21 pounds of heroin and cocaine stashed in her car. So we have people smuggling drugs, and who knows if these people who are actually doing it are even to blame in this situation. A lot of these people are paid and they are, you know, sadly slaves to the system. And then you have a situation like a pregnant, unaccompanied 15-year-old migrant child who, again, that's not a crisis. There's nothing going on there.
Right. And that's not taking away the humanitarian crisis that exists there, right? Like,
right.
Who does she think is her audience in this? Because it's been known that this is a humanitarian crisis for a long time. And when we see the numbers of detained children or children that were picked up and you see the toddlers that are tossed over the wall, that's a crisis. Yeah. You can admit reality,
but
they won't believe what is right in front of them.
We're a country built on heart and built on faith and built on American freedoms. And sure, there are situations at hand where you look at it and go, what's the true motives behind some of the people that are coming over the border, the people who are bringing heroin or bringing drugs in, or maybe it's just the fact that they're being trafficked in. There are horrible things happening. But us as Americans, I understand. Look, I'm one of you right here looking at you if you're watching on Facebook or watching on YouTube or however you get this show. It says, I have a heart for this. I care. Like this, I'm not one of these people who's like, you know, just keep everyone out. The country is built on immigration. But this is not the solution. And honestly, to not identify a problem, to be Vice President Harris and not go visit the border yet, though you've been the one who's been tagged with it to say that you're going to lead this, because we know President Biden can't handle it. Vice President Harris, you're going to go handle this. And someone who won't even visit the situation ahead, who won't even go handle the current problems that are happening. And look, the numbers are showing. Well, not the poll numbers matter all that much at this point right now, because we are, but it shows you where the American people are. And you have seen it plummet. Only 17% of independents and only 32% of Hispanics approve of this, approve of the way this is being run. And there's more numbers here too, as well, throughout this a packet that we have here. You're right. It's irresponsible. It makes me very upset because, again, when you start showing videos, when we see the images of what this looks like for the children, we see children literally getting thrown across border walls. It's heartbreaking, and it's something we should have a real problem with. But the solution isn't to just sweep it under the rug and ignore. And, Will, I think you have a bite. You want to play. So I think we need to clarify the stance that's going on.
Well, in a press gaggle yesterday, the vice president was asked about this, and she gave an answer about what her focus is, because as we said, she's been tasked with dealing with this non-crisis.
Yeah.
So let's hear what Vice President Harris had to say yesterday by 11.
We're looking at my focus, which is a diplomatic focus on the Northern Triangle. It is about bringing together, as I did now, I think a couple of weeks ago, the members of the cabinet. And the progress there is that Commerce, for example, is going to host a virtual trade mission. The Department of Agriculture, under the leadership of Secretary Vilsack, is increasing its focus on the work that needs to happen to support the agricultural efforts of that region. We're bringing together USAID, which is increasing its work around its program that is focused on disaster relief.
They can't be allowed to get away with this being their narrative. Because imagine if a conservative or Republican vice president was tasked with this.
Right.
And they said, look, we know that it's at all-time record highs, but guess what? We're going to have a virtual trade mission summit with the Commerce Department, and it's going to fix it. It's really going to alleviate the problems of people fleeing drastically from dire circumstances, which is the words of this administration.
Not a crisis, just dire.
I really think that virtual trade mission is going to be the thing that fixes this entire non-crisis.
Yeah, I don't understand, again, the bait and switch, if you will, of what's going on here, where we're expected, as the American people, to ignore what's happening just because you align with a certain political view. And I felt that way in the Trump administration. I felt that way in all administrations. There's always political backspeak. There's always stuff that's happening. And we are at the point with social media, with news media, and how it's handled, that we shouldn't just take what is given to us, because we know it's all spin. Yes, Jen Psaki's entire job is to spin. I understand that. I'm not ignorant to that. However, when her instructed things are to spin just a word, it does tell you that where the importance lies with this administration. The importance lies of creating a facade that everything is okay. When I believe as American people, we can handle the fact, we can all deal with personally, that there are crises and there are things that are happening within our country that are disgusting, immoral, and really should upset you and be disturbing to you. They're happening in all of your cities. It's not just on the border. We're seeing it everywhere. But we are supposed to ignore it, because it doesn't fit a political narrative. And that's always what I've said to you. That's always what I've said, is if it doesn't fit the narrative, they're never going to tell it to you straight. You're never going to hear honest words coming from people's mouths. And the fact that we are even doing a show on the fact that Joe Biden said the word crisis and then the word crisis was walked back shows you a very sad state of where our country is. That is news. Because we are lied to all the time. We are sugarcoated all the time. And we are having to break down that wall to keep moving this country forward. If not, you get 4 years down the road, guess what? We're going to be in the same mess we're in right now. You get four more years down the road, even if it switches parties, same mess, because nothing moves, because we're not being told the truth. And when I look at what's happening, but you know what? The truth is out there, if you will. It's out there. Because when you see videos of children being thrown over the wall, if you see images of these facilities filled to the brim of children, unaccompanied minors, or you see the fact that your teachers aren't allowed to teach in school, but they're allowed to go teach in these facilities, we know the disparity is there. We know that there are real humanitarian issues, but focusing on a word, and I will say that for both sides, focusing on a word is not going to solve any problem. So let's move on, give it to us straight, talk like a human being, and let's not focus on ridiculousness.
Well, and I think it shows that they don't have a cohesive strategy. When you see what Vice President Harris is saying about it's going to be virtual summits, and then you see that they're trying to not admit that they're closing some of the border gaps, and then you see some of the deals they make with Mexico that we can get into in further segments, that it shows that they really are just kind of throwing the proverbial spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, and trying to weather this crisis instead of being an administration that will lead on this issue. And I think it's something that the base that elected the Biden administration wanted a cohesive strategy on this.
Specifically,
they didn't want them to just fly by night and figure it out as they go. They wanted this to be something that was focused
on. Comprehensive immigration reform and to fix this problem. Look, you had celebrities. Idina Menzel, I remember saying she tweeted out that her son was so thrilled because when Joe Biden won, he said, no more kids in cages, which we all knew was a narrative. But now it comes down to it, and guess what? Not only the same, but much worse than what's happening. We all know that's true. Hey, coming up next segment, Mike Pompeo is joining us. We're going to talk about this, and we're also going to talk about what's going on in China. But I want to hear from you in the segment following that. I'm going to take lots of calls. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo again, sitting in for my dad and my brother, joined by Will Haynes, executive producer of Seculo. He's sitting in here. We are joined by very special guest, the former Secretary of State and Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the ACLJ, Mike Pompeo. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Logan.
We got to start here. And look, we're going to talk about China. We're going to get there. But we're coming off a couple segments specifically about the border crisis, or the lack of crisis, or the word crisis, the over-politicization of that word. And I have a question for you. We've seen poll numbers plummet specifically on what's going on with immigration. However, they won't call it a crisis. And I feel like we've politicized a word, and they've politicized a word for maybe absolutely no reason. And it kind of is a distraction, if you will, for really what's going on. But what do you think they're trying to accomplish here by denying the reality that we can all see very clearly?
It's a good question. I can't figure out the word game either. Call it a crisis, call it a catastrophe, call it a disaster, call it whatever one may. What we know is there's a real risk to American security if we don't have sovereignty at our southern border. They've given that up by allowing these people to travel into our country who aren't here lawfully and then releasing them inside of the country. The humanitarian calamity as well. I won't use the word crisis. Humanitarian calamity. Young kids, women being trafficked across our border and the coyotes and cartels preying on them. These are things that are bad. I don't know why they've shied away from using that word. I'm happy to use whatever word they'd like. What I'd really like to see are actions
right.
That will protect American sovereignty and stop this trafficking across our border.
That's what's important. And that's what I was trying to get to our audience is, you, even as conservative news, you'll see them focusing on, oh, he used a word, didn't use a word. That's one of the more ridiculous talking points I've ever seen, because this should not be the conversation. This show should not be about the fact that Joe Biden, President Biden, said the word crisis and then they walked it back. What should be the content is the actual issue at hand, which is all the things you just laid out. And speaking of other issues, yesterday we spent a lot of time, the whole show, on what was going on with China and the dealings that John Kerry had with China, essentially creating a agreement, if you will, for climate change and for, you know, to fix those sort of issues. While we're dealing with, you know, what you famously said, you know, making this a genocide of what's happening in China, why do you think that this operates in a vacuum to where we have a genocide that's happening? We have China who has major human rights and other violations. On the other hand, though, where they're signing these agreements for climate change.
You know, it's a real head scratcher to see how they have subverted all the important things that really matter to America to a Secretary Kerry climate change first policy. It's really weird, right? Because they know, too, it's genocide. Secretary Blinken said so as well. We know what's happening here in the United States. We know they've tried to steal our intellectual property. They've taken millions of jobs. We know they released the Wuhan virus on the world and covered it up. And yet somehow, I think the Chinese Communist Party has convinced the administration, if we promise you something on climate, if we pretend that we're going to reduce the number of coal-fired power plants that we increase by every year, if we do these things, then all will be well in our relationship. That is an enormous sacrifice for American security to the altar of the Green New Deal.
And we talked about this. They're barely even pretending. You know, if you looked at really what China had to say, they were like, oh, yeah, we'll maybe we'll get to it. It wasn't even like a hard, like, yes, this is work together. It was more like John Kerry, we're going to self-regulate ourselves and let's hope they do the same. You know, it was.
No, goodness. Yeah. This will prove to be a charade. They'll make no firm commitment, and whatever ephemeral promise that they make, they will violate, just as they've violated all the others. It's a shame that they appear to have fallen for this Chinese Communist Party parlor game trick and are going to sacrifice American security to get there.
Now, Secretary Pompeo, you brought up that Secretary Blinken has had some tough statements recently regarding China and genocide and urging other nations to join together to kind of help put a stop to this and not to encourage or enable this in some ways. But it almost seems to put him at odds with what the climate czar Kerry's agenda is on this China deal. We know that John Kerry subverted the foreign policy of the Trump administration with the Iran-backed dealings, but is he now actually subverting the foreign policy of the Biden administration?
It's always a concern when you have someone like Secretary Kerry who is going to go around and make climate change the the signature issue for the administration when Secretary Blinken's got a much broader, much deeper, much more difficult task in front of him. I hope it's not the case. I hope the administration is speaking with a singular voice. Secretary Blinken has done good work. His language on China has been good. His language on genocide has been good. Now they need to take actions that reflect what Secretary Blinken has said. And I hope that we don't have a former secretary out giving a different message than the current Secretary of State. That would send missed signals that would confuse the world, and it would put America at risk.
I think, Will, that's right. I think a lot of people don't even understand necessarily these positions. When you hear the climate czar, it doesn't necessarily click of who this person is. I think because we are so used to John Kerry in other roles, as you said, Mike, that it's an odd situation to put them in, because it does feel like there's two different administrations talking. And you have Blinken, who, like we said, we've had many moments now that we've agreed with him on. And we've had, you know, some pretty strong rhetoric coming from him. But then when you have on the opposite side, I mean, how do you deal with that within an administration that if you're China, who are you listening to?
It's complicated. Don't forget there'll be other voices as well. The responsibility of the president is to make sure that there's a single policy, a single set of priorities. Ours were pretty clear.
Yeah.
America first. Secretary of State's running that foreign policy for me. We're going to place America's security at the top of the list. Everything else will be subservient to that. We did that well, and it meant we could protect religious freedom around the world, human rights around the world. We could get hostages back from around the world. We could do each of those things while preserving American security. I hope they'll find a voice, a single voice, and then a single set of policies that they deliver against. If they do, America will be far better off for it.
Thanks. We only have a couple minutes here, but I do want to kind of address this question quickly and take it as you will. I think the American people hear this, and they go, well, we obviously know we deal with China a lot. Like I said, looking at the equipment that's around us, there's no way this show is probably on the air without things manufactured in China. So how does the United States actually come to these agreements when you know we have to work with them in some sense, but on the other side, we have extreme, like I said, genocide happening and other horrible human rights violations?
So it's very complex. We have spent 40 years engaging with China, drawing closer to them economically. We now have deep interconnections. We need to begin to move past that and unwind that. We can no longer adopt a policy that says for a ration of porridge, we will trade American security. So we need to make sure that these companies all understand they are American companies. They benefit from being American companies. When it comes to American national security, we need every company to understand their supply chain, know what the risk is to the United States, and begin to unwind in a way that protects America's interest. It will not happen overnight. It won't happen in a week, but it's got to happen.
Thank you so much, Secretary Pompeo. It was great to have you on today's show to really break this down. This is why we have voices like Secretary Pompeo, who, again, for the ACLJ, for you guys listening, is our senior counsel for global affairs. Go take a look at the website. You're writing terrific things. There's blogs that are going up every week from Secretary Pompeo. If one's not up, it's going to be up very soon. A brand new one. Go check out our website. Again, we're in the middle of a matching challenge at ACLJ, and we could use your support. And things like this, where are you going to get analysis like this? Nowhere else on the planet. And that's thanks to all of you who support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Not only will you be able to donate, and right now, again, it's a matching challenge, which means if you give $10, it becomes $20. Look, we're head towards the end of the month. You give $100, it's $200, there's someone there matching your donation. We appreciate that very much. So we can keep doing this for you and also all the legal work. If you want to find out more about what we do, again, ACLJ.org, or download the ACLJ app in the App Store and tell people about this show. We're coming up with questions and comments. I look forward to hearing from you guys on the air. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Hey, this is Logan Sekulow, joined by Will Haynes and Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. And today we have been talking primarily about the quote-unquote crisis, non-crisis, the use of verbiage for some reason that is there to subvert you, to get you to focus on that, not actually the humanitarian issue that is at bay. We've been talking about that a lot due to what came out. Maybe we should restart this, Will, talk a little bit about Joe Biden finally, accidentally used the word crisis. And for some reason, that's news. And that is an unfortunate thing that's happening right now. When there is genuine despair and concern and a crisis and everything you could say is happening at the border, where you're seeing videos of children being thrown over, you're seeing this problem and you're seeing all of the things that are happening, and we've politicized a word. That's the big problem that I'm seeing outside of this Washington, D.C. bubble of backspeak. So Joe Biden, I'm not going to play the clip because it's you can go find it earlier in the show, but it's very hard to hear. He offhandedly used the word crisis.
Yeah, they were asking about this refugee caps issue that had plagued the administration because they didn't raise a number, and some Democrats were upset they didn't raise a number, and they quickly backpedaled and said, we're going to raise the number. But so that's what the question was about, essentially. And Joe Biden, his response was that the problem was the refugee part was working on the crisis that ended up on the border with young people. And he said, we can't do two things at once. Yeah. So he's the one who described this as
used
a crisis
word
at
crisis,
the border.
Which is insane that we've, again, politicized a word. And as I said, all we want as the American people is to be given to it straight. Tell us what's happening. And don't start just getting caught up in the weeds where we can't use a word or can use a word. It's the most ridiculous political nonsense. And then we had a complete backpedal in a way that's so disturbing and disgusting based on the words that you're going to hear from Jen Psaki. I believe we have that bite.
Yeah.
This is the how delusional they are to think we're going to listen to this and not go, that is one of the more disturbing statements I've ever heard. Let's hear from Jen Psaki.
The president does not feel that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire circumstances is a crisis. He does feel that the crisis in Central America, the dire circumstances that many are fleeing from, that is a situation we need to spend our time, our effort on, and we need to address it if we're going to prevent more of an influx of migrants from coming in years to come.
So, you know, again, it's not a crisis. He doesn't think it's a crisis. There's just a humanitarian nightmare happening that as American people, we're just supposed to ignore and pretend isn't happening. That's what they want. They want for you to live in some delusional world where nothing bad is happening. That, you know, we saw the statement that, you know, we're turning the corner on COVID. We're moving forward. I think Vice President Harris said it. I saw it in our package. Like, look, things are getting better.
Help is here and hope is here.
Yeah. And look, great. I'm very happy that we have turned the corner on all of that. That you're seeing all of the numbers go down for COVID and for us to be moving forward as a country. But that doesn't mean we have to pretend that nothing else bad is happening. It doesn't mean as American people who want to genuinely help, who want to see these problems solved, have to get caught up in political nonsense. And that's what we're going to talk about the rest of this half hour. I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Here is Vice President Kamala Harris specifically avoiding the question at hand, but talking about how things are great. Help is here. Let's take a listen to VP Harris, Byte 14.
Help is here, and hope is here. And things are looking up. Schools are reopening. Businesses are reopening. Grandparents are seeing their grandchildren in person. We are delivering real relief. And the American people are now able to breathe easier and sleep better. And we are not done. The president and I are ready to keep going, and we are not going to take it slow, and we are not going to take it one step at a time. Nope. We are going to take a giant leap into the future.
When we get back, we're going to talk about really what's going on and how some Republicans are fighting back on this. We'll talk to Than Bennett about that.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Seculo again. This is Logan Seculo, Will Haynes, and Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, let's start with what's going on and how people are responding. I know we got a letter that came in from Jim Jordan and friends, if you will. Tell us about this and how and what the next step is.
Yeah, a couple things moving on Capitol Hill, Logan. The letter that you're talking about came from three chairmen in the House of Representatives, Jim Jordan, John Katko, and James Comer. They are the ranking members, my apologies, Logan, the ranking members of the House Judiciary, House Homeland Security, and House Oversights Committee. Basically, Logan, they want a meeting with Vice President Harris. And in my book, this is a very reasonable request. They essentially say, look, we know there's a crisis at the southern border. We know that President Biden put you in charge of this crisis. We have some ideas that need to be discussed. We want to meet with you. It will be interesting to see, though, Logan, whether or not she responds to that. But I would just put forward, if that meeting takes place, or even if it doesn't, there are a couple of things that Washington, D.C. should absolutely be doing. Whatever word you want to use to describe this, here's the reality. Children are being used right. as pawns and worse at the border. And we can discuss this further if you want, but one of the things that we have proposed is that a piece of legislation put forward by Senator Blackburn be passed now that says if someone comes to the border trying to enter the country with a minor in tow, Logan, you have to pass a DNA test to prove that they are actually part of your family, to make sure that they aren't trafficked, to make sure that they aren't recycled, sent back over the border for another use, or as you pointed out during this broadcast, Logan, that they aren't simply abandoned.
Right. I think it's a logical step. I think that makes sense coming from Senator Blackburn. I'm glad that's something we're doing, because those are the real ways to start solving whatever you want to call this, the crisis, the despair, the issue, the disturbing humanitarian issues that we're having at the border and pretending like aren't existing. Now, Than, from people who don't know and don't understand a Washington, D.C. issue, maybe they work in an office with difference of opinion. In what world could the vice president just say no to this kind of meeting? Like, of course, why would you not take the meeting? I mean, I know the answer are obvious, because it's all political, but why not? Why not have a real discussion with people about what's happening? Because I think we're all big boys and girls here. We can all deal with the fact that there's stuff happening in this country all over, not just at the border, that we all should be pretty upset about.
You know, Logan, only in D.C. Only in D.C. where you don't start with facts and what the maybe the best solution is to it, but instead you start with a narrative and you work backwards. Only in that scenario would you not take a meeting like this. Because, look, if you're looking for a solution, you want to get the council of all involved. Now, look, maybe the president isn't going to like the suggestions put forward by Jim Jordan and John Katko and James Comer. But, Logan, in a real world, you would want that input so that you would craft a solution that could then get their input and get their buy-in for whatever you put forward. But that is not ultimately the goal all too often in Washington, D.C. Ultimately, so many times in Washington, D.C., the real goal is to get your predetermined narrative backed up by the American people. And Logan, I know this is something that you talk about a lot, but I think this is a perfect place to talk about this. We have a big role at the ACLJ and as the American people in pushing back against this. We have to inform ourselves. We have to know the actual facts. We have to do more than just watch our favorite news channel all day. We actually have to know the facts on the ground, know the law that applies. That's why we do this program every day. That's why we send so much content out. Because, Logan, no matter who's putting out the narrative, maybe it's someone you're predisposed to agree with, maybe it's someone you're predisposed to oppose, but if you know the facts, Logan, you can cut through some of this and realize the ultimate truth.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why it's important for the work that we do here at the ACLJ. It's not biased necessarily politically. You know, we'll tell you when we agree with Republicans. We'll tell you when we agree with Democrats. And like I've said, we had Mike Pompeo on the last segment. We said there are things that Secretary Blinken has done we've been very much in favor of, and he's done some good work. The problem is when you have Secretary Kerry, former Secretary Kerry, now the climate czar, going and, you know, essentially confusing people of who's in control and whose authority to buy into with multiple narratives. And really what happens is you get hung up on a word, a silly word like crisis. You get hung up on that word when really what we should be dealing with is the fact that there are thousands of children at the border either being trafficked or are coming here even just for, like you said, for a better life or coming for different reasons, and that we don't know how to handle it. And when you really look at, again, what just has happened in the last day, whether that's child abusers, whether that's rape suspects, whether that's gang members, whether that is someone arrested for trying to sneak in 21 pounds of heroin and cocaine, and then on the flip side of that, not just people who are doing horrible things and trying to bring horrible things into your country, you also have the other side, which is the humanitarian issue of a pregnant 15-year-old who it doesn't know what to do, unaccompanied. There are real issues here. And as conservatives, as Christians, we have to look at this from a different lens. Don't just get stuck on the narrative of Republican and Democrat. We do have to look at this a little deeper and understand that there is a humanitarian issue here we need to respond to. And yes, it's complicated. It's way more complicated than a word, using one word or not a word.
Well, and in this letter from these ranking members to the vice president, they bring up that members of their committee had traveled to the southern border. And here are some of the things that they witnessed and heard while they were at the border. They heard from CBP officials who have had to divert scarce resources away from the agency's primary national security mission. During the trip, they observed pods in CBP facilities that were built to accommodate 33 individuals during the pandemic, but were now holding over 500. We saw children who had been in CBP custody for at least 11 days. They're only supposed to be in there for 72 hours. We heard that smugglers are using large groups of migrants to distract law enforcement as they smuggle narcotics across unsecure parts of the border. And the list goes on. That's why they're asking for this meeting. They're saying, listen, call it whatever. Call it a catastrophe. Call it dire circumstances. But we want to know what you're doing about this.
Yeah.
And this is, no matter how you cut it, how can you not say, that's a crisis? 33 people is what this pod is built for. Yeah. And they have over 500.
It's insane. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Steve in Oregon online too. And hey, if you want your voice heard on the air, we do have some open lines. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Always in the last segment, I like to take as many calls as possible. So if you have a question or comment, now is the time to call. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, I also could do one thing. It's easy to, if you're looking for a way to support the ACLJ and beyond just our matching challenge donate, what I'd like you to do is just like this post, share it on Facebook, and like it, And then also on YouTube, hit that thumbs up and like it and subscribe. Make sure you subscribe. Those are free ways you can support the American Center for Law and Justice, and it goes way further than you could possibly imagine. Let's go to Steve in Oregon. Steve, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm great.
I was just wondering, and I hope you'd let me finish. I was just wondering, how come we haven't heard about the parents of all these kids that they just desert, throw away, throw over the fence? These kids don't know what's going on.
Sure.
And if we did that, they would be taken away, and we would be fined or in jail or whatever. And these parents are going to go, hey, that's my kid. I need to be reunited with them over there. And then it's a humanitarian thing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Hey, Steve, I understand your point of view, and I think it's easy for us to get caught up in sort of our own bubble of, like, you know, people abandoning their children. I don't pretend to be an expert on this, but from what you're saying, what other people I know are saying, this is not often the parents in this situation. That's why we're talking about what's going on with Senator Blackburn putting in this DNA testing. These are kids that are being trafficked. These are kids who, there are some that parents are sending their children with people to try to give their children a better life. There is a real crisis. These are both crises. There's a crisis of what's happening in these countries that are making people flee. Then there's the other, which is people who are fleeing these countries for nefarious reasons, and they're using children to do that. And that's what, then, is something that we're looking at least how to enact something.
It's such a great point, Logan, because, you know, depending on what side of the aisle you sit on, oftentimes you're only going to recognize one of those crises. Well, the Republicans are going to recognize one, the Democrats are going to recognize another. This goes back to the comment that Jen Psaki made about it's not a crisis if parents are trying to flee a bad situation and make a better life for themselves. She's actually exactly correct on that point, Logan. The problem is you can't provide a better life for as many people as you could if you don't have operational control over the border. You actually can provide more opportunity if you can control the border and let the right people in while keeping the threats out. Logan, the other point I would make is so often these videos we see, people dropping kids over the border or trafficking them into the country, those are not the parents. Those are cartels. Right. Those are traffickers. And Logan, this is heartbreaking, but the term that they use for it is that kids are recycled for this purpose. They're used to get across the border. Then they're actually sent back into Mexico to come back across with another group of traffickers. Logan, one of the things that we have to communicate is that children have value. They are not something to be used for a purpose, but they have a value, and our public policy needs to reflect that.
Absolutely, Than, and that's what I've been trying to drive home while you're listening to this. This is not us saying you're anti-immigration or anything like that. That's ridiculous. That's not the right thing to do here. Just simply not the right thing to do. What we do have to do is address what's happening to these children. And why they're being essentially abused in this situation, how is America, we can respond and respond appropriately that both protects them and protects our country. Listen, we got one more segment coming up. I want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Like if you're watching on social media.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge.
For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo, final segment of the day. Again, some phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. If you are watching on social media, I'm going to ask you to do just a favor. Click the like button. Share it. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the thumbs up. Really does a lot for the work of the ACLJ. Gets a lot more eyeballs on it. It really helps us out. So if you could do that, that's a free way to do it. If you do want to support the ACLJ financially, it's an easy way to do it as well. ACLJ.org. You can go. Right now, we're in the middle of a matching challenge, which means if you give $10, effectively, that's worth $20 because there's someone on the other end who has pledged to match your donation. Again, that's not just for $10. That's for end up. So we really appreciate that. Also, while you're there, you can read some amazing new articles, see some great videos, and download the ACLJ app while you're at it as well. If you have a smartphone, do it. If you have a Roku, Apple TV, download it. You get all of our films, you get TV shows, you get everything that we do on that app. So check out everything that we've now just promoted, and also support the work of the ACLJ. Let's take some phone calls. Again, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the air. 1-800-684-3110. Regina's calling in New York on line two. Regina, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I have a quick question. How do I get my church community involved in the just being this awareness of advocating for the humanity, dignity of these children and people that are being trafficked through the border?
Sure.
I mean, how do I do that?
Regina, it's kind of a slippery slope, honestly, in American church right now, because it's become such a political issue. And then I know you've dealt with this as well. When your church is sort of split politically, all of a sudden, it's like you're picking a team. And really, what we should be as Christians looking at the crisis that's happening on the border, twofold. One, as the political side of it, of here's the problems that are going on politically. Here are the problems when you have backspeak and doublespeak and, you know, people not working together. But on the other hand, these are still children that we need to be out there advocating for.
Yeah, here's my view on this, Logan. I do think you have to separate those two things and engage in both of them. On the policy side of it, I really don't think there's any replacement but for advocating with your elected officials that you have to have operational control of the border. And that's true whether or not you think that levels of immigration should increase, remain the same, or decrease. Logan, if you can control the border and you think that we should be providing more humanitarian entrance into the United States, as that's the political left's position, essentially, you have to have operational control of the border, which is the political rights position. So engage in the policy space. And my view on the humanitarian space, especially for civic organizations, churches, and the rest, Logan, is if the United States government makes a policy decision, whether you agree with it or don't, and put these refugees, these aliens in our country, in your city, Logan, I think we ought to be caring for them. I think the church ought to be in the middle of that marketplace and providing for the humanitarian need, even if you think the reason they landed in your city maybe wasn't a proper decision. I think you should meet that physical need.
I agree.
I do want to kind of back up something Than just brought up where there isn't operational control of the border. Just for the month of March, an all-time monthly high of 19,000 unaccompanied children entered the U.S. custody. So that also doesn't include people that were not picked up by U.S. Border Patrol. And on top of that, agents along the southern border carried out approximately 170,000 total apprehensions in the month of March. That's a 70% increase.
In the month of March.
That's a 70% increase from the previous month, from February. Imagine any organization trying to get a handle on a situation that is 70% more intense than the previous month. It's just not physically possible without having the resources that we know are already strained.
And Than, our political news and 24-hour news is caught up on a word. We're caught up on, are they going to say crisis or not? Whether that's become even a narrative. That's what the discussion point is. Not, like what Will just said, 170,000 total apprehensions. in the month of March. There's a 70% increase. And again, sure, we've got to search for the root cause. I think that is something that Vice President Harris has said she's going to be doing. They're working towards all. But we can't ignore this situation that's happening and just pretend as Americans, as COVID is starting to get under control, that yes, there is hope. Yes, we should be preaching positive news that's happening. I think there's a stat that said over 90% of news right now is negative, and I don't want to be the person adding on to that. What we want to say is we need to flip this and figure out how to help.
Logan, this issue, maybe as much as any issue, is one that's got to be engaged in with good faith by people on both sides of the aisle. And I'm not sure that's happening in Washington, D.C. Look, when you're in a security atmosphere like the one that Will just described, where there is out of control apprehension, and by the way, that's happening in an administration that is trying not to focus on apprehension, trying not to focus on enforcement. I mean, with Vice President Harris in charge and Secretary Mayorkas at the helm, look, I'm not even saying this disparaging, Logan, they are open borders policy advocates. So they are trying to minimize apprehension, and yet the apprehensions are through the roof. When that is your security atmosphere, Logan, there's just not even space to advocate for expansion of any humanitarian efforts because you know they're going to be exploited. If you want to use a humanitarian program, which, by the way, we at the ACLJ do, we work in these refugee spaces. We try to get asylum applicants entered into the United States when they are legitimate. Logan, you can't use those programs legitimately if the people responsible for controlling the border, specifically the Department of Homeland Security, is not interested in securing the border. So we've got to engage the issue in good faith on both sides.
Again, for both sides, I want to be talking to also the people who are listening who maybe voted for now President Biden. Specifically, a lot of you, because of the humanitarian process and the thought maybe you'd have a president who was more compassionate, or you thought that was the problem. Look at the situation at hand and realize what's going on. And this is a sad state, honestly. It's why sometimes politics can break your heart, because the answers aren't simple. And what they'll do is sweep stuff under the rug to try to move forward and try to show a style of progress when we all can see through it now. And just realize that is why organizations like the ACLJ exist, because like what Dan said, we have to be there to be the voice and to fight for people, for humanitarian crisis, for take it beyond Washington, D.C., to take it beyond politics. Because a lot of times, stuff doesn't happen. Stuff doesn't move forward. You have Jim Jordan begging for a meeting that likely he won't get. That is the nature of politics in 2021. And that's why even organizations like ours at the ACLJ that are continuing to fight back every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I promise you that's the truth. And you can support our work at aclj.org, and we'd really appreciate it because that's great. And it obviously does a lot. And we appreciate you listening. There's also ways you can support this broadcast as well. And again, like I said, that's by sharing and liking and telling people about the work that we're doing. And we appreciate that. Let's go to the last call of the day. Richard in California. Hey, Richard, keep it quick. We only got a minute left.
God blessings to ACLJ. I just have a real quick kind of a question statement. You know, we talk about all these countries that are hurting and all of these people that are leaving their countries and trying to get to the United States. What's happening to all this money that we're sending to these countries to give them aid and help? You know, most of the countries, if you go to any of these countries, that money's not going to helping their people. It's going to their government.
I don't think the United States government has a good track record of sending foreign aid and it going where it's intended. Yeah. One key example, Palestinian Authority. We send dollars over there, and what do? They pay salaries for jail terrorists.
We'll just sign a global
climate
agreement with them, and things will be fine. That will clear it up and make it all good. Hey, thanks for listening to Seculo today. I appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow again. Same place. Find us on social media. Like all our pages. Support the work of the ACLJ. Hey, follow me while you're at it. I'm a pretty fun follow. At Logan Seculo on Instagram. And you can also find us on Twitter and everywhere else you get your social media. Subscribe to my channel while you're at it too. Logan Seculo Reprogram. We'll be back tomorrow with more on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.